Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is our segment, 8:30 to 9 on the Jumu'ah, with Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Tahmud Barakatuh. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum.
How's Mufti Sahab doing? All well on your side?
Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, alhamdulillah. How are you all doing there?
Alhamdulillah. I just saw now because we've got a glass screen here so I can see. And I heard Mufti Saab speaking to our engineer, your Bonface. So the thought crossed, when is Mufti Saab going to, you know, work his magic, inshallah, and speak to Bonface, give him some dawah. He doesn't want to listen to us.
I think I have to take a special trip and visit him there. And inshallah, we'll work together with him, inshallah. And when you're coming to Newcastle for a trip, bring him along. I think for our Ijtima, you'll have to come. So bring Bonface and I'll personally make khidmah of him, inshallah. And then seeing the environment will speak for itself. In Medina Munawwara, so many came and they saw the deen of Allah in that environment. And just a few days, it had such an impact. Like imagine a great Sahabi, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He came to Medina Munawwara to pay for his brother, because his brother was a captive of her, for them to see and take effect on the environment. So his brother's name was Walid bin Walid. And when they were capped there, and they saw how the Sahaba interact, mealtime Sahaba would see to them that they ate nicely. They took the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, istawsu bil usara khaira, take good care of the captives for Allah's pleasure. And then so many of the captives, Mus'ab bin Umair's brother reports, he says, I was amazed to see that the Sahaba would feed us first and then they used to eat. And the Ijtima is such an amazing environment that people see this for themselves firsthand. So inshallah, Mawlana Sahib, Mawlana Zaid Sahib, you and our brother Bonface will be our guest there. And inshallah, that will inshallah seal the deal, inshallah. He'll see it for himself through the mu'amala, through that environment. They do see it in the work environment, but at Ijtima, because of the work behind it and the nuraniyat behind it, it has a great impact. Hazrat Mawlana, give me permission to finish that story of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid.
Ji, inshallah. Ji.
Ji.
No problem.
We'll be on the road, so if we go a little, we're on our way to Rustenburg, make dua for us. But if we go a little unclear, please forgive me.
Okay.
So what happened there was, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid came with the ransom money for his brother, Hazrat Walid bin Walid. And when he paid for his brother, 4,000 dirham, he got his brother released, and the two brothers together traveled to Makkah Mukarramah. En route, Walid bin Walid was restless. So his brother asking him, what's wrong? He says, no, you won't understand. Anyway, they stopped at a certain point to rest, because you can't travel an 8-day journey consecutively. You have to stop at certain points. And when one day Khalid wakes up, he notices his brother is nowhere to be seen. His brother left a message with someone that tell my brother to carry on. And where has he gone to? Back to Medina Munawwara, where he experienced that environment of Iman and that environment of Deen, alhamdulillah. And when he arrived in Medina Munawwara, Sahaba welcomed him. That Walid, you came. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they asked him, but you were here for so long, because it probably 8 days journey by the time his brother came, and then by the time he arranged the money, so it would have been between 15 and 20 days. Why didn't you embrace Islam while you were here? He says, I wanted to embrace whilst I'm free. I didn't want it to be that I'm a captive and that's why I just become Muslim. And I wanted that my father's wealth be used for Allah's deen. Look at, already his mind is now that this wealth must be used for Allah's deen and for Allah's sake. And so Ajib, there was another Sahabi who later on embraced Islam. He came to pay for his captive. His name was Jubair bin Mut'im. Jubair bin Mut'im. Now, Jubair bin Mut'im's father was Mut'im bin Adi. The riwayah comes in Bukhari Sharif, where after Badr, when the captives were present in Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in Sahih Bukhari, لو كان مطعم بن عدي حي, if Mut'im was alive and he spoke to me, I would have released all the captives on his request. But why did Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak so highly? of Mut'im bin Adi is because when Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to give da'wat in Ta'if, then he returned after da'wat there and he performed salah in the valley and the jinn heard him recite and that became the means of their hidayat, because there Allah was showing us. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to give insan da'wat. Many insan didn't want to accept, but Allah gave that. So some will get hidayat. We have to make an effort. But the Meccans refused Rasulullah's entry into Makkah. For our understanding, like a visa, they refused him to enter. That you left on your own accord, you can't come in. Any of the Quraysh senior members could give visa. Unless that senior member embraced Islam, then he had forfeited that right of giving visa. That's why seniors like Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar couldn't give visa. Abu Talib could give because he wasn't a Muslim. Abu Lahab could give, but he was not interested in allowing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entry into Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote to Mut'im bin Adi. He said, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wrote to me, he took his sons. He says, come. He escorts Allah's Nabi into Makkah. He takes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam around the Kaaba, giving him protection. And he showed that respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's Nabi remembered him after the captives of Badr and said, if he was around. And so we learn from here, there's many good non-Muslims in the world out there. All they're waiting for is for us to give them the da'wat. And this is what I would request our listeners today. It is a Friday morning. We're going to work. We're going to our offices. We're going to our surgeries. We're going to our environments. Just talk to people about the beauty of Islam. Bashir and Nadir, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way. Tell people how successful, how peaceful life would be through Islam. Yes, Allah's test would come, but Allah will help us through. But then when we die, we have everlasting bliss forever and ever. Then give the Nadir part. What's the Nadir part? Is that any of us, we can die at any time. If we die without Iman, what would happen in the afterlife? We'll suffer forever and ever. So tell our colleagues, friends, employers, employees, that why I'm sharing this with you, my friend, is I'm not going to get anything out of it as far as the world is concerned. I'm only sharing this with you due to a concern and a worry. That's why Hazrat Uthman bin Affan was given da'wat by his aunt. He was so inspired, but he wasn't yet ready. So he spoke to Abu Bakr. He had a business transaction. And he asked Hazrat Abu Bakr, what you feel? This is what my aunt Su'da said. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, Uthman, you're such a wise man. You know, think of it. We manufactured these idols. We purchased it. And now we want to worship it. How can that be God, Uthman? What your aunt told you is correct. But Hazrat Uthman was still shy. So Hazrat Abu Bakr said, come, I will take you. And he takes him to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So cater for people. Help people. Encourage him. Come, I'm going for Jumu'ah today. Come, I show you how we pray. Experience that environment when they see it. And then you take him for some biryani, some akni, some dalgosh. And then that ikram. He's a man we know for so many years. Maybe the next door store. Or he buys for us for so many years. Or he might be our tenant. Or he might be our school friend. Or he might be our school, university teacher. Make a call. Today, make a call. Tell him, sir, I know you for so many years. I wanted to meet you. I have a little message. And in your simple way, and let's say he asks you, respected Ummah, something complicated, don't feel shy. Just say. And remember, 99% of the non-Muslims ask simple questions. Let's say 90%. 90% of them don't even ask questions. When you approach them, they tell you, thank you, sir. I appreciate the fact that you spoke to me. The 10% that ask these questions, 90% of those who ask, of the 10% that ask simple questions. And the few complicated questions that come, you respond and you say that, you know what, I'm not sure concerning this one, but I'm going to get back to you, sir. And you'll ask Mufti AK Saab, and he'll get back to us, alhamdulillah. You'll ask our ulama alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Uthman then was taken to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by. So every one of us can do it, alhamdulillah. And Allah will bring Boniface and we will accommodate and we'll welcome you all day in Newcastle at our ijtima', inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. And
there was another discussion, if you allow me.
Okay.
I was discussing last week Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's life because he embraced Islam and was made shaheed in this month. So we discussed a few incidents of his life. Because the month is almost ending, can we discuss a few more incidents of his life, and then we'll move on to incidents of Muharram, inshallah, at the next opportunity.
Gee, inshallah. Since it's almost the end of Dhul Hijjah, we can take the last few moments to spend it understanding what had happened in this month of Dhul Hijjah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah. One amazing Sahabi we should remember who passed away in Dhul Hijjah, and he's the first of the Muhajireen to pass away in Madinah Munawwara. So he passed away second year Hijri, Dhul Hijjah. He was none other than Hazrat Uthman bin Maz'un. Uthman bin Maz'un, radiyallahu ta'ala, anhu. And he was the brother-in-law of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar's wife was Hazrat Zainab bint Maz'un, radiyallahu anha. Her brother was Hazrat Uthman bin Maz'un, a great sahabi of Janabi Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from the Muhajireen, the first to pass away in Madinah Munawwara. Now, Hazrat Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he embraced Islam in this month, but what we were discussing about him, his amazing life, and then he became the Khalifa, Allahu Akbar, the second greatest Sahabi. Hazrat Abu Bakr was the first Khalifa, then Hazrat Umar was the second Khalifa. He ruled the entire Muslim world, and where Islam was traveling far and wide through the efforts of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. In Hazrat Abu Bakr's time, Islam entered Persia. Then Islam just entered the Roman land, Syria. And Islam was strong in Persia. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr instructed Hazrat Khalid bin Walid to go to Syria to help the Sahaba Kiram who were leading the Muslims there in Syria against the Romans. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very ill after Islam started spreading in Syria. It just entered and the first battle took place called Yarmouk. Yarmouk, one of the main battles there that happened in Syria against the Roman powerful army. Yarmouk is famous against the Romans just as Qadisiyah is the famous expedition Sahaba fought against the Persians. Now, in this expedition, Hazrat Muthanna returned from Persia and he comes to Medina to meet Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr was breathing his last, but he called Hazrat Umar. He said, Umar, I'm leaving. You are the Khalif, the Khalifa of Allah. But remember, don't say Abu Bakr passed away, things must halt. No. Remember when the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world, deen carried on and striving for Allah carries on. First thing I want you to do, Umar, send Allah's men to Persia with Muthanna. And then Hazrat Umar became the Khalifa. Hazrat Abu Bakr left this world. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made a lot of effort in Syria and Islam entered Palestine, before that Damascus, Halab, and then Palestine. From Palestine, subhanAllah, Hazrat Umar came to Palestine. And Hazrat Umar's amazing journey with his servant Aslam. He traveled together with Aslam and they arrive in Palestine. What an amazing journey, where the rabbis and the priests were awaiting to see Hazrat Umar themselves. And when Hazrat Umar arrived, they looked at him. And they found that his description is ditto the man who's described in their books. Imagine, Hazrat Umar is described in the books of the former religions, the followers of the former Anbiya alayhi salam. These rabbis and priests are studying their books as Hazrat Umar arrives. Exactly the same man. And amazing is the fact that one man who came to him and Hazrat Umar remembered him. And he met Hazrat Umar when Hazrat Umar came to Syria and Palestine the first time as a young man when he couldn't afford to travel and he was a shepherd. And his brother then funded him and said, Umar, I know you want to travel and it's your dream and you want to do business. You take this, my brother. Hazrat Umar says, my brother, you'll do this for me. Why? He says, you are my brother. His brother Zayd bin Khattab. Hazrat Umar never forgot his brother Zayd. He says, whenever the wind blows, I think of my brother Zayd. And then he superseded me to the two greatest things. They asked him, what is it? He says, number one is Islam. He became Muslim before me. Number two is Shahadat. He became Shaheed before me. Hazrat Umar loved his brother. Anyway, when he came there in Syria, some police department, some authoritative people were trying to push him around. So Hazrat Umar told them to back off. They said, no, you have to come and clean our yard. and so forth. Hazrat Umar says, see, I'm not here to do your employment. I'm here on business. So they wanted to belittle him because he was Arab. And that was, you know, their system, the Roman system, looking down upon other nationalities and so forth. That's why as Muslims, don't look down upon any of Allah's creation. Respect people. Speak to them politely. Speak to them kindly. Anyway, that man tried to push Hazrat Umar around. Hazrat Umar bashed him. He fell down. He went to call the department. The police came running behind Hazrat Umar. He escaped. One man saw him, pulled him in, and he locked the monastery. And as Hazrat Umar was inside there in this church, he fed Hazrat Umar. He took care of Hazrat Umar. At the end, he says, oh, my friend, I want you to sign this. Hazrat Umar says, what is it? What do you want to sign this for? He says, no. When you become the ruler of these regions, these lands, I want you to see me right. Hazrat Umar was actually so you know, in humor. He thought you're making a joke of me. What do you mean? He says, no. The scriptures, just sign here for me. So Hazrat Umar complied. Years later, when Hazrat Umar arrives, he sees this man. Do you remember me? He says, of course I remember you. And Hazrat Umar saw him right. And there were amazing incidents where Hazrat Umar said to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, radiallahu anhu, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِذَا ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةِ فِي غَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. We are an ummah. Allah has given us izzat through Islam. If we acquire and try and seek and honor through any other avenue, Allah will disgrace us. Our izzat is through Islam. We have to remember that, and we have to advocate this to our children and our ummah. Hazrat Umar taught this to the Sahaba as he arrived, and he reminded them of this. And obviously they knew that, but this was a lesson for us. And in that, Asbaq, this report says Asbaq. So it seems he was another servant. Or he could have been Aslam, who was also called Asbaq. Anyway, Asbaq brought this water for Hazrat Umar. And Asbaq means to be very quick in complying. So it means Aslam was so helpful and so quick to obey and, you know, to make khidmah. Probably Hazrat Umar called him Asbaq. But this report clearly, and it's a sound sahih report, Asbaq brought this water for Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar says, where you brought the water from? He says, that old lady in the monastery, she, you know, made it available to me. Hazrat Umar says, take me to her. This is in Palestine. And Hazrat Umar goes to meet her, and he says to her, Ma, I want to tell you about Islam. That's what you believe in, the Anbiya and so forth. Isa alayhi salam, yes. And Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam with the truth. He is the final Nabi of Allah. And he gave her an intro to Islam. She says, but you know what, I'm so old. Where I'll change now? Hazrat Umar was emotional. He teared. And in this report he said, Amilatun nasiba. They are those who exert themselves so much and then they end up in hellfire. Like such people, they work and they make ibadah. And also we should take pity on certain people in the world. They're so impoverished. They work night and day. I was hearing from Mufti A.K. Saab's friend, Hafiz Adil. He says when he goes to the brothers to Malawi, normally to listen, you know, to test the children in the maktabs and so forth, that aircraft is filled with missionaries. Where are they going? What are they doing in Africa? You and I can't invite our staff in our store to Islam. The missionaries are taking falsehood and spending 1, 1, 2, 2 years taking people out of Islam. Where's our heart? Where's our pain? Where's our shame? Allah forgive us. We are the ummah of rahmatul lil alameen. We are the ummah of the greatest of anbiya. But we can't tell people who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Hazrat Umar seized the opportunity and he told her, Ma, this is who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. In one report he said, Allah, you bear witness that I gave her da'wat. Allahumma shahad. What answer will you and I give? There's no Nabi to come. For us to tell you now, take few years and go in to these areas and save people, Allah reward the Jamaat, they go, even though the effort is on the Muslims. What a great impact that is having. At least Allah gave us that. Who of us are prepared to even take out a few days to do that? Allah, give us tawfiq. At least start with our staff, our friends, our neighbors. Put aside our shame. Put aside our cowardice. And tell them about the beauty of Islam. Make some literature available to them. Make khidmat of humanity. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, one night he was patrolling. Allahu Akbar. Patrolling at night. And subhanallah, at a distance, he notices a tent. So he approaches and he hears from outside that inside there's a woman crying and moaning and groaning. So he sees the man restless outside the tent, outside Madina Munawwara. He says, brother, what's the matter? So that man felt, you know, this ghaira, this possessiveness. And he says, please, stranger, get away. It's nothing to do with you. You know, carry on your way. He, not knowing who this man who's asking him is, he spoke to Hazrat Umar that way, in that way. Hazrat Umar says, well, just give me information. Maybe I can be of some assistance to you, of some khidmat to you. He says, my wife in labor pain, what can you do? So Hazrat Umar then rushes home. He awakens his wife after midnight. He awakens his wife after midnight. Oh, my wife, halaki ila khairin qad saqahu Allahu ilayki. There's an opportunity Allah has brought to our doorstep. Do you want it? Will you seize it? Will you take it? Allahu Akbar. From the statement of Hazrat Umar, this should be our slogan in life, that Allah doesn't need us. Allah's armies are unlimited. Those to serve Allah's deen are so many. If we have an opportunity to serve Allah's deen, to sing Allah's song, to call to Allah's greatness and tell people about Allah, it is the greatest mercy of Allah. It is the sheer favor of Allah, the benevolence of Allah and His compassion, who is enabling us and allowing us to utter His spark name despite our dirty tongues. So Hazrat Umar awakens her and says, Allah has brought this opportunity. Do you want it? Immediately she awakens, Atika, radiallahu anha. And when she gets up, she says, yes, O Amirul Mu'mineen. And then he asks her what to carry, what to put together. And then he carries it and he goes with his wife at the dead of night. And then he sends her inside the tent and he now stays outside, makes a fire, prepares the meal, and he entertains the man who was under pressure and who was restless there. In that, Hazrat Umar, after preparing something nice or preparing something, he sends it inside the tent and he serves the man. And just then, he hears from inside his wife address him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Bashir sahibaka bi ghulam. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, tell your friend Allah has blessed him with a child. This man, for the first time now, realizes that the man serving him, the man who brought his wife at the dead of night, the man who prepared meals and made his khidmah, is none other than Amirul Mu'mineen. This man started to shudder and shake and shiver. Hazrat Umar assured him that what is there? He consoled him and calmed him down. And what is it? You don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. What are we but to serve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The man was so touched. Hazrat Umar then saw to them, cared for them, and then said, come see me tomorrow by my place, by the masjid, or next to the masjid, where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's area and center, for our understanding, his office was. And this was what Hazrat Umar used to serve. The great, great Sahaba, the Khalifa. One night, Hazrat Umar is patrolling, and he gets tired. So he reclines, and he was old, ya Allah. He reclines on a wall. And he then overhears a conversation between a mother and a daughter that, my child, add water to the milk. And the child responds, but Ma, there was an announcement in Medina by Amir al-Mu'mineen's announcer that for sale, when selling milk, do not add water to the container because that's deception. So the mother said, but we need, and where Amir al-Mu'mineen or his man will know what we are doing. So the child responds, but Ma, he might not know, but our Allah knows. And Hazrat Umar hears this conversation. He says to his Sati, just remember this house. The next day when he finds out it was a mother who was widowed and her child, her girl who was of marriageable age, and they had lost their father. Hazrat Umar then asked his sons, "Who of you want to wed this child, this girl of such character?" His son Asim was ready. Asim. It takes Asim to visit. That lady was also worried. Amir al-Mu'mineen is coming. But this was the akhlaq of Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu. Imagine a man was not there for Fajr. Hazrat Umar is wondering, where is Sulaiman bin Abi Hasma? Thousands of people are there. One man not there. Hazrat Umar has fikr. Wah, wah. Brothers, we came to the masjid. What about others who don't come? Who's going to? Let's make some fikr. The brothers are sitting in the masjid after Fajr for morning fikr. Sit little while. Sit for a few minutes. So our day starts with fikr. What that fikr is about. How Allah can make us a means of somebody and somebody's hidayat. How can humanity get hidayat? How we can use our mind, our efforts, our limbs, our capabilities, whatever we can use for Allah's sake, for the upliftment of Allah's deen. Hazrat Umar goes to visit Sulaiman, who wasn't there. He knocks the door, his mother opens. Where is Sulaiman? She says, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the entire night he remained in tahajjud. It was just before Fajr that he dozed off." Hazrat Umar said, "But the entire night tahajjud can never be compared to one Fajr salah with congregation." So this was Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he asked his son, come, ask him, get them to speak. And he then proposes for his son, Asim, who marries that sister from that home. Allahu Akbar. From there, Allah blessed them with a daughter whose name was Layla. As Layla reached the age of marriage, who wedded her? A man from the Banu Umayyah clan, Abdul Aziz. So Abdul Aziz and Layla wed. And who's their child? A youngster by the name of Umar. Allahu Akbar. Who's that Umar? That is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Where it started from, Hazrat Umar making gush and patrolling at night and having concern and worry to make khidmat of people and to serve people. This is the barakat of service. This is the barakat of gush. It leads us to so much and so much of khair for generations. Allah give us all tawfiq to be inspired by the life of these Mubarak people. But it's not only to hear the story, but it's to walk the talk, play our part, fulfill our duty and responsibility, give people dawah, tell the world who is Hazrat Umar. Tell the non-Muslims who they haven't heard. They haven't heard, they don't know a man like Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Mufti Sahab, for these wonderful pieces of advice. And
JazakAllah to you, Malana, for the opportunity. Allah reward you, Malana, for your
inshallah,
time. Your
inshallah, we're considering that trip to Newcastle.
Please come,
inshallah.
And tell me beforehand, I will be in your khidmah and my brother Boniface. I will personally make your khidmah, please. Am I pronouncing his name correctly? Boniface?
Yes. Yeah, he says it's correct. Yes. Okay. JazakAllah khairan, Muftisab. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.